Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah concludes his series, The Irresistible Church. This series highlighted one of the five purposes of the church each week as we dive into what makes the church so irresistible. Now here's Pastor Ray.
When we discover that we were created by God and for His own glory, I think that ought to cause us to run down the street shouting, I found it, I found it. That is the eureka moment in life. It's what's called the principle of purpose, the principle of purpose, which Paul described in Romans chapter 11 and verse 36. I want you to turn there because we're going to also look at the next verse as well. Romans chapter 11 and verse 36. This is the principle of purpose. And Paul writes, for from him and through him and for him are all things. And that includes you. For from him and through him and for him is your life. To him be the glory forever. Amen. The moment you discover that's the best use of your one and only life, then you have figured out your highest purpose in life, to worship God. No higher purpose in this life, in this created realm, is to know, to understand, to embrace that God created me for His own glory, to be a worshiper of Almighty God. That is your personal eureka moment. And it's what makes you and me and us irresistible. When we grasp that, when we get that, that is what makes us most irresistible. And so let's talk about worship this morning, which is simply this. Worship is simply glorifying God with your life. What is worship? Very simply, it is glorifying God with your life. And we're ending this Irresistible Church series today on the five purposes of the church, which also happen to be the five purposes of the Christian life. And worship is the fifth purpose. And in a very real sense, the first four purposes, evangelism and ministry and discipleship and fellowship, firing on all cylinders out of our lives, is what produces your worship. We could have started out with worship. It really could be talked about as the first and the most foundational purpose of the church, but I wanted to save it to last because I want you to see that all of these other things that we've talked about, as we express those out of our lives, that is what produces the life of worship. When we connect to God and to God's family, when we serve God's family in a ministry, when we're growing as a part of God's family, when we're reaching out to those beyond God's family, we are living the life of worship that brings glory and honor to God. Now, the verse immediately following chapter 11, verse 36, is Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Now, you have to understand that when Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, he didn't have the chapter designations. There were no verse numbers. It was just one complete thought. And so there's no break between chapter 11 and chapter 12. And so going from that grand statement of our purpose in life, Paul says this is probably the defining verse on worship in the whole Bible. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, that you would offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So right here, Paul is very clearly and quite concisely describing what worship is. So worship is not only glorifying God with our lives, but worship is my response to God's lavish kindness. Notice what he said, in view of God's mercy. So whether it's singing worship songs like we just did, or participating in a worship service like we're doing right now, or offering our life in worship, worship is not me creating something to give to God. Worship is not me offering God something that I've invented. That might seem like a small distinction to you, but that's not it. Rather, true worship is me responding to what God has already given me, His grace, His mercy, and His love. When we get that, then we can, in view of that, then we can offer our lives to God in worship. I was thinking of what Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It's a perfect description of what I'm talking about. Remember what he said? He said, if it weren't for the Lord's great love, we would have been consumed already. Hey, do you realize that? That if it weren't for God's love for us, We would have been gone. We would have been annihilated. We would cease to exist a long time ago. But because of the steadfast love of the Lord, because his mercies never cease, they're new every morning, we are still here. Because of his mercy, we exist. Thank you, God, for your great faithfulness. That's what worship is all about. Furthermore, so let me just reiterate that the life of worship starts, it begins with grasping God's lavish loving kindness, and in response to that, offering our lives in gratitude to him. That is the beginning of worship. Moreover, what I offer to God in response to his kindness to be true worship must be nothing less than all of me. In view of what God has done for me, how could I offer nothing less back to him than all of me? The verse goes on to say that we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. To offer our body as a living sacrifice means it is a perpetual, day-by-day, moment-by-moment offering to God. You know, in the Old Testament world, the sacrifice, when it was offered on the altar, was dead. It was a one-time thing. But to offer our body as a living sacrifice means this is an ongoing thing, offering nothing less than all of me continually to God. I like the way the Message version translates Paul's words. He says, he talks about your everyday, ordinary, sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life placed before God as an offering. So in reality, and here I think is the best definition of what worship is. In reality, worship is the offering of everyday life to God. Worship is me offering my everyday life to God for his glory. This, Paul writes, in the final part of this verse, is your true and proper worship. The offering of your everyday life to God. This is your true and your proper worship. So, what does true and proper worship look like? What does true and proper offering all that you have every day to God worship look like? Well, three things. Jesus described it this way in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. He says that you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So, one, true worship is expressing unbridled affection to God. True worship is offering our unbridled affection to God. Jesus said to love God with all your heart and soul, to offer your emotional response of love to God. Now, this might be difficult for some of you to grasp because perhaps you grew up in a home like I did where love and affection weren't visibly or verbally expressed all that much. I mean, in my home, I knew that I was loved, but that just wasn't our deal. We didn't roll that way. I don't remember hearing and being told that I love you that much. I don't remember saying it that much. I don't remember, affectionate embraces physically from my family. We just didn't do that, although I know we were loved. But that's something that I've had to learn. It didn't come by modeling for me. And with Linda, with our kids, and even with you, it's not hard for me to do now. But if you came from a family like that, this might be a hard part of what worship requires of you, to express your unbridled affection to God. Or if you expressed affection and it wasn't reciprocated, this might be kind of a hard thing for you to do as well. Sometimes we reach out and we try to tell somebody we love them and they don't reciprocate, and so we kind of pull back. We get a little bit fearful about doing that, nervous about doing that. Do you remember the first time you worked up the nerve to tell somebody that you love them, and you were really nervous about that because you were afraid they wouldn't say that back? Anyone besides me ever feel that way? Did you kind of wonder about that? How will they respond if I tell them I love them? And so you remember that moment? You were all nervous. Your mouth got dry. Your palms got sweaty. By the way, you know what to do if that happens? If your mouth gets dry, just lick your palms and just get... It's kind of a thought, but, well, it's there, it works, but, I mean, you were nervous that they wouldn't say, I love you back. It's risky to say, I love you. But listen, God has removed the risk. God has removed the risk because he went first. You don't have to worry. God went first 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says that we love him because he first loved us. In a thousand different ways, every single day, God says, he whispers, he speaks to us, he shouts his love to us. He went first. He took away the risk. And he wants to hear you say it back to him. That's worship. He wants to hear you express it back to him. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6 says, and this is God speaking, he says, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. Now, I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. And the implication there is, I want you to know how much I love you. To know that God loves you and to express your love back to God in response to his love, that's at the heart of worship. That's where it starts. That's what empowers worship. To know that God loves you and to love him back in response. When you learn to express unbridled affection to God like that, you are on your way to fulfilling your primary purpose for existing, your primary purpose in life, to be a worshiper. Now listen, if you want to get serious about this kind of affectionate worship, and maybe this hasn't been a real natural thing for you, I want to give you a tool that I think will help you to experience this kind, to learn to be this kind of affectionate worshiper. So I've created a prayer for you to pray every single day. I'm going to challenge you to pray this prayer every single day for the next 30 days, a very simple prayer. And it's simply this. Write this down if you'd like. Lord, if I do nothing else today, let me know you and love you a little bit more. Just try that. Just throughout the day or once a day for the next 30 days that you would pray that prayer, Lord, if I do nothing else today, then let me know you and love you a little bit more. Now, that's a part of a daily prayer that I've written for you that's a little bit larger than that. We've inserted it into your bulletin. And I would just ask you to take a look at it right now. And in fact, this is really kind of a worship prayer covenant that I'm going to encourage you to make to God and to use this as well. So this is a little bit more expansive, and actually I would encourage you to pray this or to pray this several times every day. I would challenge us as a congregation to over the next 30 days to make October a worship month, that we would just dedicate this month to learning and practicing authentic worship, expressing our unbridled affection to God. This is a way for you to just declare before God, this is what my life is going to be. I am going to be a worshiper. So God, I covenant to give you my worship, to give you my life as a worshiper. And then just sign that if you're serious about that. Just sign that and every day pull that back out and read, pray your covenant, your worship prayer covenant back to God. I think it'll be a life-changing experience for us. Now listen to this. If you'll do that, no matter how bad any one of the next 30 days goes, or any day of your life, if you blow it on that day, if stuff happens to you that you didn't desire that day, if you get a flat tire, if someone yells at you, if the neighbor's dog growls at you, if you have a financial disaster, if you get fired from your job, if you stumble and have a failure, listen, just to know that God loves you and to express your affection back to God in response has made that day a success. That's what you were created for. That's your purpose in life. If everything else goes off the rails, if you can do that, to know and to love God, that day is a success. On the other hand, if you go throughout your day and you accomplish all 50 things on your to-do list and you don't stop to know that God loves you and to express your love back to God, then you have failed at your primary purpose in life. You have wasted a day. You have not done what God created you to do. So let's just stop, especially over the next 30 days as we give attention to this, to offer our lives in affectionate worship to God. God wants a reciprocal relationship with you. He created you for that. The best way to worship and to glorify and to please God is to give him your affection, to give him all of you, heart and soul. Number two, true worship is focusing my undivided attention on God. Not only my unbridled affection that I need to express, but it's focusing my undivided attention on God. Jesus also said to love the Lord your God with what? With all your mind. To bring your thoughts, your intellect to focus, to bear on who God is. True worship is to love God not just with your full affection, but also with your full intellect. True worship is not just going through the motions of singing, I love you, Lord, like we did today in our worship time to express our... It's not just going through the motions of doing that. True worship is not just ritual prayer that we offer to God before a meal or as you listen to the pastor pray on a Sunday and it just kind of is a rote thing to you. True worship is not just throwing your offering into the plate when it goes by, but true worship requires creative thought of making effort, expending energy, of giving focus to what you're offering to God. That's true worship. Now, why is that? Why does God desire your undivided attention? Because God gives you his undivided attention. Psalm 139 says of God, you know all about me. When I rest, as I work, you notice everything I do and everywhere I go. God's got his eyes on you all the time. Did you realize that? You have his undivided attention. Do you realize what an incredible gift of love undivided attention is? Oh, it is an incredible gift of love. It speaks, I love you, in volumes. You know, when our daughter Danielle, who was here over the weekend, and we celebrated her birthday, when she was a little girl, she went to the school that our church operated in Denver, Colorado. And after school, she would come into my office, and then after work, I would take her home, and we lived about 30 minutes away, and beautiful drive along the Front Range of the Rockies, and just a glorious occasion every day just to be in that part of God's creation. And on the way home, I would like to listen to sportscasters, sports news on the radio. Back in those days, I loved the Denver Broncos. Now, that's the first time I publicly mentioned them since the Super Bowl fiasco, and I just want you to know, I'm coming out, but I want you to know they're dead to me. They are dead to me. They embarrassed me one too many times, especially when I stood up here and prophesied. And I said. I love to listen to the radio while Danielle loved to talk. She loved to tell me every little detail about her day. She just talked incessantly when she was a little girl. I called her sprinkler head. You know, she just talked like this all the time, affectionately so. And so as I was trying to listen to the radio and the sportscasters, Danielle wanted my undivided attention. And so she would lean up and she would turn the radio off. And she would say, Dad, talk to me. She wanted my focus. I wanted sports radio. She won out. And so we would have these amazing conversations during that time. Listen, along with your unbridled affection, God too wants your undivided attention. So here's how. Here's how you can do that. I think probably the best way to give God your attention, undivided, is to have a quiet time. You know, it doesn't matter when, and it doesn't really matter how long. It just matters that you have one. You know, I would suggest that you give him the best part of your day. Say, God, I'm giving you my undivided attention. I'm going to give you the best part of the day. Now, for me, and I think for most of us, that would mean in the morning. But you can do it whenever you want. But just have a quiet time where it's just you and God. You know, you're praying, you're reading his word, you're talking to him, you're journaling, whatever you do. But you're saying, God, this is just you and me. This is your time right now. Give him the best part of your day, a daily quiet time. I think another thing to do is throughout the day to just practice the presence of God. How do you give God attention? Just practice the presence of God. If he is as close as the air we breathe, you just stop and you incorporate him into the daily, ordinary moments of your life. It could be when you're washing dishes or making the beds or getting the kids off to school or driving your car or doing your work at the office or, you know, whatever you're doing at school, that you just stop and you include God in that moment because he's there and he wants to be included. And you just have a conversation. Have constant conversation with Jesus. He's right there. Just have constant conversation. Say, Jesus, here's what I need. Lord, here's what I want. It's okay to do that as well. He's invited us to. He says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Just ask him for what you need. Just include him when you're thinking about the assignment that's before you. Jesus, what do you think about this? Lord, what do you think about what the boss just told me to do? Seems ridiculous to me, but what do you think about that? You know, Lord, I have to go, what do you think about this? So just have constant conversations with Jesus. Practice the presence of God, and you will give Jesus, you will give God your undivided attention. And then I think at the end of the day, before you go to sleep, before your head hits the pillow, the lights go out, just reflect with God on the day. And just say, God, we made it through this day. God, thank you for being with me. God, I'm still alive and I've got another day tomorrow to come. Just reflect on the day and include God in that. Practice being with God. Psalm 105 verse 4 says this, worship him, how often? Continually. Worship him continually. Include him in your day. Again, use the prayer insert that we've made for you throughout the day. Engage with him throughout this week. Give him your attention this month. And just see what happens. Just see what happens. I'll give you a preview of what's going to happen if you'll do that. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 says that God will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on him. God himself promises that for those who fix their thoughts on him, he will keep them in perfect peace. Doesn't that sound good to you? Wouldn't it be amazing to just walk, to be kept in, to be undergirded with the peace of God that transcends all understanding? It'll guard your heart and your mind. That the peace of Christ could rule, could referee, could umpire your life, the peace of God. God promises that to those who give him their undivided attention. And three, true worship is exerting my unreserved ability for God. My unreserved ability. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your energy. You see, God wants not only our hearts and our heads, but he wants our hands as well to serve him with our energy. You know, if all I did was express my unbridled affection to Linda, and if all I did was give her my undivided attention, every day I gave that to Linda, do you know what would happen? Well, for one thing, she might think that she was in the wrong house if I did that, but but if that's all I did, if that's all I did, I think she would think that my love was shallow, was incomplete, was disingenuous perhaps. Why? Because there needs to be action backing up my affection. There needs to be action that backs up my attention. My love needs to be expressed in practical ways, running errands, helping with dinner, lending a hand around the house, working on projects. See, that's worship too. That's worship. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. You see, everything we do is worship. If it's done with excellence, if it's done with joy, if it's done with love, if it's done with a desire to please God, it's all holy. It's all holy. So worship is radically reorienting, radically repurposing, redirecting how you do things, how I do things to be pleasing to God. Everything I do, I say, God, help me to do this. Enable me to do this in a way that is pleasing to you. That turns work, whatever work is, that turns work into worship. That is what turns everyday life into worship. Again, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, reading from the Message translation, says to take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God is an offering. If you will get up tomorrow with a a commitment to go to work as if you were working for a new boss, Jesus. If you would make a commitment today to get up tomorrow, to serve breakfast to your family, to get the kids ready for school, as if you were serving Jesus and preparing for his day. If you were to go to school with the attitude of, I'm going to learn from the teacher as if he or she were Jesus. If you would, in whatever you do, as you go out into the world tomorrow, say, I'm going to do it as if I'm serving Jesus, then you will experience the joy of turning life into worship. And that is what you were created to do. You will fulfill God's purpose for creating you and bringing through your life glory to him alone. That is the highest purpose that you can serve. And it brings incredible joy, satisfaction. It leads to indescribable success. You want a significant life? Focus your life on the worship of God alone. You've heard me tell this story before. It really has impacted my life and in a profound and I hope a fundamental way. It's the story of J.S. Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach, who was in the habit of writing the initials SDG at the bottom of every one of his musical compositions so that anyone, including him and anyone else who read and used those compositions, would be reminded that the glory was to God alone. SDG stands for the Latin phrase Soli Deo Gloria. Soli Deo Gloria. Glory to God alone. If we could autograph our life that way, at the end of the day, at the end of our life, if that could be what they wrote over our life, Soli Deo Gloria, wow, we would be the most irresistible people on the planet to God and to man. Soli Deo Gloria, the worship and glory of God alone. That is your purpose. That is why you were created. And God is calling you today to covenant with him to live the life of a worshiper. I'm going to ask for our servers to prepare. We're going to come to the Lord's table. I can't think of a better way to put the exclamation point on this series and on this message today than to come before the one who gave his all for us, and in view of his mercy through his sacrifice on the cross, that we would offer now our lives, our bodies, as living sacrifices back to him. I'm going to invite the musicians to come, and in a moment they'll lead us in worship. But I want you to prepare your heart to make this covenant with God in this moment. You know, back in the 1600s, there was a piece written called the Westminster Confession and Catechisms. And it was a document that was a work that was written to teach theology, to teach doctrine. And it asks and it answers 196 very important theological questions. And the very first question is this: what is the chief purpose for which man is made? What's our reason for being? And the answer is this: the chief purpose for which man is made is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And we most enjoy him, friends, when we get addicted to his glory. So I want to challenge you to develop an addiction. This is a good addiction. Develop an addiction to the glory of God alone. That's the life of worship for which you were created to enjoy. So again, I challenge you to make a covenant with God. Use this prayer sheet that we've printed out for you. Sign it at the bottom. Give it to God. Review it every day this month. And wherever you need to do some work, you know, maybe it's in expressing your affection to God, or maybe it's setting aside undivided attention to God. Maybe it's in including him in your everyday moments throughout the day. And maybe it's just taking time to reflect on his love and mercy at the end of the day. Maybe it's giving him your abilities to quit holding back on some of the energies that you have and focus more your physical presence in serving and worshiping him. Whatever it is, this is the time when you think about what he did for us in light of what he's done for us that we celebrate today, what he did on the cross, in view of God's mercy. Offer your bodies, your life, all of life as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him. This is your true and your proper worship.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.